oder beginn des Service bei Singen vom 34. That in that temple in God, in that most holy place, we are the loving kindness devour the wonders of thy grace. Number 134. To you from that holy word, the epistle of Paul to the Romans, the third chapter, the third part, Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, that he has promised the word by his prophet in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, that was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank God, my God, through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. As well, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey to, by the will of God, to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I propose to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Great mercy and peace is given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord of heaven and of earth, it is in thy condescending mercy and in thy long suffering that we again privileged to come in this house of worship. We are still in the land of living and in the day of salvation. The word of God is preached unto us, and we hear time and again that voice from heaven, this is the day, walk ye therein. Incline our hearts in this evening to the fear of thy holy name. A special hour to remember the wonders that thou hast wrought in thy years, in the days of old, by placing people in the midst of the years who were sent to them as informers, bringing the church back to the true doctrine that salvation is only in Christ Jesus, and that we can be justified only by grace, not by the works of the law. And now after so many years, Lord, that doctrine that is not taken away from us, but that is still amongst us, better to us in all the denominations, better to us on every pulpit. But, Lord, thou knowest that it is so different in the time in which we are living. And so many people, even many leaders in the church, have no concern and even no knowledge what was done in the days of old. What in blood that there came here on earth from all those martyrs who have died for the name and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for that doctrine in which the Lord receive all the praise, honor and glory, and thy people receive that only comfort in life and in death, that there may come a revival among us and outside of us, and over the length and over the breadth of the earth, and that it may please thee that the light come on the candle, as it was in the days of those reformers, and that the work of the Holy Spirit was so clear and so powerful that the devil was ashamed, that the world was astonished, and that thy people rejoiced in the Lord. That it may please thee, Lord, to give him blessing upon our gathering in this evening. Give some edifying word to speak in the midst of the congregation. Bring several things back in our minds and hearts, what we have considered and studied, and that it be a blessing for young and old, great and small, a blessing for this time to profess that doctrine that is delivered unto us by our Father, but also to live out of it for our own soul, out of that fountain and source, Jesus Christ, and that we personally in our hearts may know the ways of the Lord, and that we have something for the future that shall never be taken away, but that we may lean upon it and trust in it with our whole heart, and that we may receive that experience. God is our refuge and our strength. Grant and blessing in our hearts and in our midst in this evening. Strengthen and sustain us, that we seek the honor of thy name, the welfare of Zion, and that we may instruct it in the right ways and doctrine, also as a blessing for us and for our family. Remember the whole congregation in all the need and in all the want. We acknowledge thy name for that Father who came home from the hospital today, and we ask of thee also for that other Father who hopes to come back tomorrow, strengthen and sustain them together, supply the needs and the wants also of those who are in bereavement and sorrow, to again who have lost a brother and a sister. Lord, be with them in their old days, and that we together may number our days, and apply ourselves to wisdom, with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 213. My people gave ear and attend to my word. In parables, no deep truth shall be heard. The wonderful story our fathers made known to children succeeding by us must be shown. Number 313. Beloved congregation, it is for a special purpose and reason that we are gathered in this evening in our church building. Today, it is the Reformation Day. And we have to remember the wonderful work that the Lord has wrought in the days that he has given Luther, Calvin, Melanchthon, Zwingli, Bullinger, and Beza in our youth. Men who were qualified by the Holy Spirit and who were richly blessed with so much talent and gift to serve the youth and to bring them back to that truth that was given in former days in the midst of the youth. It is not as they say in our day that it was most of all a misunderstanding what had taken place in those days. Because they say if Luther was living in our day, then he had never made him breathe in girls in the church, in the vision. And that same, the misunderstanding, they speak about it today in regard to 1857. You know, in 1857 there came a separation again from the Reformed Church, and then also here in Grand Rapids and other places, the Christian Reformed Church was organized. But in that meeting that will take place Thursday in Holland, they shall also speak about the question whether that it was a misunderstanding that separation that came. That is too bad. Really, it is too bad that the people is talking in such a way in the days in which we are living. That the Reformation was a work of the Lord. We can believe that for 100%. And that the Lord had given his divine approval over what had taken place also in 1517. This evening, it is of course more a remembering and reminding of what had taken place in the days of the Reformation. But still, I have a text, and I will say something in regard to the Reformation of that text that you find in the Epistle of Rome, the first chapter, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Before that, I will speak some words this evening about that text and bring that in connection with the Reformation. I will first give you some dates about Luther. November 10, 1483, he was born in Elsden out of a farmer's family, a poor family. And it had cost something for the parents of Luther in 1497 to bring him to a school in Magdeburg, because they had no money for the other children that they had, but since the time that Luther was born, and some people had looked upon him while he was laying in the grave, then it seems that the Lord in that time already had given to some of his people some impression that the Lord had something in store with that boy. To learn that was for Luther as boy very easy. He was a boy the same as other children. And it was even hard to keep him in the school. He said himself that in one moment that the teacher, he had to punish him 15 times. So naughty he was. But his friend, also a young boy, he said no. He said it was 16 times that the teacher punished you. But nevertheless, he was blessed by the Lord with a very clear mind and understanding. In 1501, they sent him already to university in Erfurt. But in 1505, then there came a wonderful thing that was coming up in his life, because then he go to a cluster. The reason that he entered the cluster, you know, they have all heard about it and read in his history what the reason was. He was walking with one of his friends in a country road, and that boy that dropped that death. It became for him eternity. That had made in his conscience a deep impression. However, from the days of his youth, his life was very hard. Time and again was in his mind the justice and the righteousness of God. And one day he was again walking in on some road, and then there was an awful thunderstorm and lightning, so awful that it seemed that soon everything burned up and that he had to die. And there he came on his knees, and there he prayed the Lord, "Lord, take me not away." But of course his understanding about the true doctrine, that was of course very weak, because on that road in that day, then he called also to one of the saints, to a woman with the name of Anna, and he said, "Lord, spare me, holy Anna, protect me, and if you protect me, Then I promise you that I shall stop with my study, because he was ready and busy to study for a mayor of the city or for a lawyer. And he had young race in his mind to become a doctor. But he go to the cluster. He wrote a letter to his father about his intent. His father wrote him back. And he wrote in that letter that he and his mother, that they were very disturbed. That it was a great disappointment to hear that he would go now to a cluster. His father wrote, "Poor boy, I think soon you are a lazy monk." A lazy monk. "And that you shall do nothing else than pray and beg on the street for money. But if you desire nothing else than that life, I hope the Lord be with you." Luther came in that cluster, and he had lived under heavy conviction. He never could find the rest. Hell and condemnation, that was always in his mind and in his heart. And then in that cluster one day he found an old Bible. He never had seen a Bible in his life, because his father had in those days also no Bible in the house. But then he saw that Bible, and that was connected with the wall with a chain. But he made it loose, and then he started to read in the Bible. And he came, first of all, by Psalm 71, where you read, "Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape." But instead that the text to give him relief, the text that was not for him. And then later on he came to Romans 1:17, to that text that I have mentioned to you this evening and read out of the Bible. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And for all those years, he could see nothing else than that righteousness of God that would condemn him. You would say now, amen. Because he became a doctor in divinity. A year before they made him already a professor, and he instructed the boys in the high school and college, and still with all his understanding standing in mind, he had no insight in that text at all. Nothing. He saw all the time nothing in the word righteousness And in the word justice, everything that was against him. You can well realize what an awful time that man had. No opening, no door open in the valley of Achor, no relief by day and by night. He had made a trip also in that time to Rome, and he thought, I shall well have a great blessing when I come to that holy city. When I come near to the Pope, I shall realize the blessing in my heart that that Pope will give me. But he was never in his life so discouraged than that he was in that city, Rome. He said, he made a statement when he left that city, and he said, the closer to Rome, the farther from the Lord. It was in the winter of 1512 and 13 that the Lord brought him to an end, that the Lord go through with him. He was in a little room upstairs alone, waiting for the moment that God has just, that he would sanctify him and that he would sink in hell. You can realize in little congregation how dark that it was for his soul. No opening, and seeing nothing else than forever cut off by the Lord. He was laying there on the floor, crying and sighing, because that little room that became his denial, the same as that Jacob in Genesis 32 was prevalent in his life. And there again, when he lay there in that great soul distress, then he read again Romans 1, but then in a different way as that he ever had read. Then the Lord showed him there in that moment, that he thought for himself it was hopeless. But then the Lord revealed that righteousness not as an attribute of the Lord, but then he revealed the righteousness of the gospel in the gospel. I hope you can understand, congregation, the difference. If we look to the righteousness of God as an attribute of God, then there is no hope And there is no expectation for sins. Then it is all cut up. Then it is a lost case. And of course, Luther, he was under the convictions of the Holy Spirit. And then we come well to a despair of ourselves, but not to a despair of the Lord. In the deep ways in which the Lord brings his people, then he still upholds them, and he still strengthens them with the right hand of righteousness. They see that afterwards. They see that not at the same time, people. So it was now also with that Luther. When he came to the word, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And then his eyes were opened for the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was there in that upstairs that the Lord revealed for him the gospel as it is in Christ Jesus. A clear proof, congregation, that it is in the life of God's children that it is all waiting for the Lord. And that we are standing for ourselves outside of it. That we cannot bring ourselves to that light, no. Even that all the ministers who say that text that speaks now about the righteousness of Christ, where he had merited that righteousness in the state of his humiliation, where he had obeyed the law of God, where he had taken away the curse of the law, where he had satisfied an holy and a righteous God. And now through that Christ, there is deliverance, there is hope, there is expectation, and not only that, there is more in it. The Apostle Paul, he said, I am assured, Timonars, of what is revealed unto me, that it is personally for me. That is the whole case, congregation. I told you many times, even, that the whole city of Grand Rapids was saved. But we are not saved. And it is not applied to our heart, but benefit and what profit will we have out of it for our own heart and for our own soul. But now the Lord is came in his heart. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And the meaning now of that text, from faith to faith, that is this, that the Lord is working that faith in the hearts of his people, but that he is also increasing that faith, and that he strengthens that faith of his people, and that there is keep out of that faith such and comfort in life and in death. And then, when that happened, that Christ was revealed and that perfect righteousness, then the Holy Spirit in that night, he applied it to the heart of Luther. And then he felt for himself that he was delivered. And that the Lord as yet had acquitted him from all his sins and from all his transgressions. And that now the righteousness of Christ not only was revealed to him, but also to apply to his soul. And then there was a joy, a godly joy in his heart. And he cried out there in that upstairs, Lord Jesus, you are now my righteousness, and that forever and forever. And of course that moment in 1512, in that room there, that was finally where the Reformation was born. What took place in 1517, that was the result of it. Then it came in public to light, because Luther, after that the Lord had delivered him for himself, then he never had in his mind to leave the Roman Church. With Calvin was a difference. When the Lord converted Calvin, then there came immediately a separation between him and between the Roman Church. That happened there immediately. But that was not so with Luther. Luther was in that church and he stayed in that church till the time came that the Pope excommunicated him from the church, and that the Kaiser, that he declared that everybody that would find Luther have a right to kill him. There were many meetings held with Luther. The history speaks about many. But there was one thing that was very observable in those meetings, that Luther always was leaning and relying on the doctrine of justification. You shall not find even one book, I think, that is so clear in the doctrine of justification of Luther. His explanation about the Galatians, that is really, that is a masterpiece. And all those in my midst who have an opportunity to buy that and to read it, then you shall find that it is really such a wonderful work that from the beginning to the end, that Luther is cutting off everything of men, and that he glorified God in his justice, but also the Lord Jesus Christ in that righteousness that he had merited for his people, and that the Holy Spirit applied to God's children. One day, he was called on a meeting. Luther speaks about that on his, in the booklet, little book, Table Talk. And then there was one of the cardinals, his name was Baby. He came with 13 reasons, and he lay before Luther, hoping that he could persuade Luther, and that he had the same obedience and the same honor for the Pope as that he had in the third time. The people in that meeting, they tried to persuade Luther that he was wrong. But finally, then the question was asked to tolerate, to forbear the Pope, the princes, and the authorities of the church . But Luther said, I am willing to tolerate if it is nothing against the Holy Scripture. I never would give in when they deny the fundamentals of the Holy Scripture. And why not? Because the Word of God, he said, that is not my word, but that is the Word of God. And he said, everybody, I have to fall for the Word of God. We have to obey that with our whole heart. And then that Margrave, he said to him, Doctor, if you understand you right, it is your desire not to move an inch regarding the Word of God. And then Luther said, no, I am standing upon the fundament of the Word of God on a solid ground, and I can do nothing. Was really a man of faith, and he was privileged in the power of the Lord to defend himself. He had done it in Warren, and his friends have tried not to go to the city because they thought it cost his life. But you know that expression, he said, if there were so many devils in the Warren as tiles on the roof of the house, he said, I go. And of course, he had a heavy strife in Warren. A heavy strife, because he even asked of some time to consider. There were in that building more than 5,000 people. Even by the window, people were sitting in the window. All the aisles were filled, and the eyes were apart. That were laying there at the table, that it were written by him. There were, of course, three kinds of books. There were edifying books, and there were books directly written to the towards the Pope, and there were also books about the heresies in the Catholic, in the Roman Church. And he said, yes, all those books are written by me. But now the question, will you take it all back? He said, no. No. Here I am standing. May the Lord, the Almighty God, help me. And that was, of course, the end of the strife to a certain extent. And that was also the beginning of the Reformation. And what was now the reason that Luther was standing there with so much power, and with so much courage, and with so much authority? In the first place, the junction of the Holy Spirit. And in the second place, because the Lord had learned him so clear, as the sun is shining on the sky, that he be saved only by grace and not by the works of the law. And that was so deep-rooted in the heart of that Luther, so deep-rooted, that he was standing there with so much liberty for his heart and for his soul. It was even a blessing for him. It was a comfort for him that he could stand there for the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. A blessing for Luther. A blessing for the church, but above all congregation, to the honor and to the glory of the triune God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. This, it goes not there more about the righteousness of God as one of his attributes, but now the revealed righteousness of Christ in the gospel. And as we have it in the eternal word of God, and therefore there is always a reason, much reason, that we sing without sorrow. But we will do now 42. Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom wise. 42:1-2. Thank you. Thou Luther, but the man that brought the light of the gospel again on the candle. He had seen, in accordance to his own testimony, he has seen in his life the wisdom of God. He had experienced the power of God, the grace of the Lord was also glorified in his heart, and he spoke also in his doctrine about the glory of God. And once he said later on to his friend, he said, there was a time in of my life that I hated the word righteousness and justice in the Bible. I hated the word. But he said, now, after that the Lord had set me in the freedom and the liberty of the gospel, now the word righteousness is for me the most precious and comforting word that I find in the Bible. He had also said to some of his friends that when the Lord brought him in the freedom of the gospel, that the whole Bible was open for him, and that he could walk as in a garden day and night. And it was, as you see that also in one of our talks, it was his meditating day and night. The work of Luther was to the welfare of youth. He was a man of God, a sinful man, and we have no ground to glorify that man, but well the grace that the Lord had glorified in his heart and in his soul. That Luther, he was brought to the Wartburg after the day that he were in Worms, and that he was excommunicated from the church. His friends have done that, because they were afraid that they would kill him, and they brought him on the Wartburg. There he was 10 months, and in those 10 months, he took the New Testament, and he translated the Old Testament from Greek in Latin, because for him he was so agitated that time and again in the meetings that they had, most of the time they spoke Latin in that time, and that was no objection for him. Luther had translated the New Testament. He made also a psalter. He made a catechism. His whole life was in the service of the Lord. There was one thing that he complained about. One thing. And that was this: that he could not die as a martyr. He wrote that he always was looking for the time that he could die as a martyr. But the Lord had not appointed that in his counsel. They have slandered him about his death too, because they told the people that he died in despair. and that the last days of his life, that it was so terrible that not one of his friends could stay with him, and that he as a victim of the devil was dragged to hell as a punishment that he had broke with the Roman church and that he had not honored the Pope. But you know out of the history that Luther, he died in his own place where he was born, Elsden. He was called there for a quarrel that there was in that time, and they hoped that by his advice that they could settle the case. He was there in that village for 4 weeks, and even the last Sunday that he was living, then he preached not still 4 times. He had also in the morning the Lord's Supper there. He died on a Tuesday night, 3 o'clock. One of his friends asked him in what a manner that he died, that he was afraid that he had regret about something, what he had written and what he had preached. He said nothing. He said, "I die here this night leaning upon Christ and his righteousness." And so he entered into that heavenly Jerusalem. And congregation, there is to say much more about it, of course, about Luther, but you know we have many times we talk about him on such a day as it is now, and one time then we have to talk about other things, that it shall be not always the same thing. But we can well say at the end of our service this evening that the remembrance of the righteous that shall be blessed. He is 455 years today that is that he nailed those pieces on the church in Wittenberg. And he is gone. He is in heaven. He had received the reward of his labor. Undoubtedly, his work is still there. To bear that the followers of him in our days know so little about it. I have this morning in one of the hospitals no one talk with a member of the Lutheran church. And I say to that man, I hope that the God of Luther, that it is your God too, and that you may learn that for your own heart, because he had preached and written the only comfort for God's people in life and in death. But if you come in contact with so many of that church, then you have to realize that they know so little about it. And still, you cannot die with Luther, but well with the God of Luther. And with him, we shall never be disappointed, congregation. No. Never and never. And you read in the Word of God in Psalm 48 that clear testimony For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. I hope, congregation, that till the end of the world, that doctrine of justification by faith only, that there be of help also in our congregation, on the basis of the eternal word of God. It is far gone, you know, as it is. But the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And especially our coming and rising generation, old boys and girls, that the Lord make you interested in that right doctrine that He had delivered. And that is still with us, that the Lord had not taken away from us, but above all, that it be blessed for our immortal and ever dying soul has traveled eternity. Soon the day comes that we have to leave our earthly abode and that we have to meet our neighbor. And then we need something of the revealing of the righteousness of Christ in our hearts. But first, our righteousness has to fall away. And we have to realize that we in our own way, with our good works, that we never can meet the Lord, but only by the imputation and by the applying of the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, and that for all of us, young and old, that it become a tidings out of far country, the far country that is heaven, and that it come down in our hearts, then we shall have the comfort out of it. For time and for eternity, may the God of all grace give it unto us for His great name's sake. Amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this evening in the midst of our congregation, that Thy blessing may rest upon us, and that that same Spirit that was given in the heart of those He formed, and that love for God and for the attributes and for the truth, that same love has given in our hearts too. Lord, stay with us, remain with us. Leave us not over to the foolishness of our hearts, but direct our way in Thy precepts. And bring us to that place that we have heard in this evening, that the Lord cut us off from all our own righteousness, but that we are taken up in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, applied by the Holy Spirit to our hearts. Remember the congregation, the troubles there. Remember the family, the parents and the children. And above all, Lord, prepare us to meet Thee in righteousness and in peace, that the day of our death, that it shall be better for us than the day that we were born, with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. 128, the third and the last stanza. God is our refuge and our strength, and helper ever near us. 128, the first and the last stanza. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.